Today, we honor the men and women who have died in service to our country. Our debt to the heroic men and valiant women in the service of our country can never be repaid. They have earned our undying gratitude. America will never forget their sacrifices. For love of country, they accepted death. And they who for their country die shall fill an honored grave. For glory lights the soldier's tomb, and beauty weeps the brave. It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who die. Rather, we should thank God that such men lived. God bless the families of these men and women, and God bless America.
We set aside a day which becomes a weekend every year to remember. You know, it's good for us to remember. It's the right thing. It's honorable. It's valuable. We need to remember those who sacrifice on our behalf. So many who lay down their lives that we might live free. Memorial Day is the right thing for us to do. But you know why we need a Memorial Day? Because it's too easy for us to forget. The Memorial Day is here to make sure that we don't go a whole year without remembering those sacrifices. Without Memorial Day, I fear that we would be so involved in our everyday lives, we would be so busy, life is just hectic and crazy, and we might too quickly forget. We need those reminders. We need a day every year to say, don't forget. I remember after 9/11, many of us got the little bumper stickers or window stickers we put on our cars. Had a flag and the towers and the date, and then below it it said, "We will never forget." And we can't. We need those bumper stickers and those window stickers to remind us. We need help remembering those things that are most important. Our memories aren't always reliable enough. And I think God knew that. And so throughout Scripture, He gives us reminders. We're going to look at those in just a moment. I was thinking the other day about how important it is to have a good memory, to remember things that are important. One of the reasons that I thought about the importance of a good memory, something that happened to a friend of mine. I have a friend named Joey. Joey was in his backyard doing some work. The neighbor came up to the fence and they started a conversation. The neighbor said, "Joey, what have y'all been doing lately?" Joey said, "Well, you know, my wife and I, we recently went to this conference where they teach you techniques and how to remember stuff, and it helps improve your memory." The neighbor said, "That sounds exciting. Who was the speaker at that conference?" And Joey said, What's that flower that smells good, but it's got thorns on it? And the neighbor said, Rose? Joy said, that's right. Hey, Rose, who was that speaker we heard the other day? Our memories are short. And God understands that. Remember, He's the one who made you, so He knows you better than you know you. And because our memories are not always reliable, He tells us throughout Scripture to remember the important stuff. He put a rainbow up in the sky one time as a reminder that He would never kill off or destroy life with another flood. He said that that rainbow will always remind you of the covenant that I've made with you on this day. The night that the angel of death came through Egypt, God established the Passover meal. That very day, He established the Feast of Unleavened Bread as a memorial. And He said, from now on, for the rest of your generations, I want you to have this special meal. And I want you to have it in this special way, so that from now on, when your children say, hey, why are we having this special meal in this special way? Then you can tell them the story of when the angel of death passed over each of God's children and brought the plague only to the Egyptians, thereby setting God's people free. He wanted them to remember, so He established a meal by which they would remember every year what He had done that night. If you look at the Old Testament law, in that law, God established a memorial offering. Different offerings for different reasons. One of the offerings is what He called a memorial offering, so that when you brought that offering, you would remember what God had done for you thus far. In that law, He also told the people to teach the commands to their kids and to tie them on their hands and foreheads. And many took that literally and actually put into a piece of leather some of those words, and they actually tie it onto their wrist and tie a little box on their forehead that they would remember. See, God knows that we don't remember too well, and so He gave us these ways to help us remember. He even said in that same law, He said, at the corners of your garments, put these little tassels, so that all day long, when you see those little tassels, you will remember My words. See, He gives us ways to help us remember. The day that God's people fought the Amalekites, you remember that story? Moses lifted up his staff, and as long as he had the staff lifted up, God's people were winning. And when he got tired and that thing would start to droop, God's people would start to lose. And so he'd have to pick it back up, and they'd begin to win again. And after a while, he was so tired that Aaron came up on one side and Hur came up on the other side, and they helped him keep that staff lifted high. And sure enough, they defeated the Amalekites that day. And after they have defeated the Amalekites that day, God told Moses, write down in a book what happened here so people will remember. See, God takes care of our bad memories, and He finds ways to help us remember the important things. When the people crossed over into the promised land, God said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get a stone from the riverbed. You know, when they crossed the promised land, He parted the waters of the Jordan River the same way He had parted the waters at the sea earlier when they first started their journey. Now, at the end of their journey, He parts the waters of the Jordan. He says, walk over through the dry land here, and as you go, pick up a stone, one for each tribe. And then on the other side, they put those 12 stones together and kind of made a little pillar thing. And he said, this way, when your kids walk by, and when their kids walk by, and when their kids walk by, somebody's going to say, what do these stones mean? And you'll be able to tell them the story of how I brought you from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the promised land. The stones were a way to remember. And you remember as well the other stone that meant so much when they beat the Philistines. They raised that big stone called the Ebenezer stone. Ebenezer means stone of help. They raised that stone of help to say, we remember how God has brought us this far. You look at the book of Psalms. Most of the Psalms have a little introduction at the beginning. And many of those Psalms, the introduction says this is a memorial psalm. It's a song that it was sung to help the people remember. When Jesus started teaching in the Gospels, when Jesus taught people, he taught them using parables. And his parables were about everyday things. I think most of the time what was happening was they were walking around. As they walk around, he looked over and he saw a vine. And he said, you know what? Look at that vine. I'm the vine. You're the branches. They'd walk a little bit farther and they saw some sheep over there. And he said, let me tell you a story about the shepherd who lost one sheep. And it was everyday stuff so that when those people saw those same everyday things again, they would remember what he had taught them. A little bit later on, Jesus promised his disciples, when they were in the upper room together, the last night they shared together, in that upper room experience, he promised the disciples that the Holy Spirit would come as a helper who would help them remember what he had taught them. You see, over and over and over throughout Scripture, from beginning to end, from old to new, from Genesis to Revelation, even in Revelation, there is a vision. John receives a vision of heaven, and he hears a voice that says, write this down. Why? So that you'll remember, so that others can see. From beginning to end, there are ways to remember those things which are most important. God understands that our memory is not always as sharp and as dependable as we'd like for it to be. And so he gives us clues. He gives us reminders to remember the most important things. But throughout that Bible, there is no other time that is as important or significant as the time he established a special meal the night before his crucifixion. The disciples had gathered for that Passover meal, that feast of the unleavened bread that had been established so long ago. That time when the angel of death passed over the people of God. God said, here's a meal to help you remember. Don't put leaven in the bread because that's going to remind you you didn't have time to sit and wait for bread to rise. You had to be ready to go at a moment's notice. And there were other clues in the meal to help them remember that evening. This is the meal that the disciples were having with Jesus the last night they shared together. And Jesus took that Passover meal and he fulfilled its meaning. He completed its purpose in that he said, now the bread and the cup will not only remind you of what God did for our people hundreds of years ago, now, the bread and the cup will remind you about what I'm about to do for you in the next few hours. And he said, every time you get back together to have this meal, use it to remember me. Have you noticed on the table, the words are imprinted there? This do in remembrance of me. That's on the table because that's what Jesus said that night when he handed them the bread. He said, don't forget. When he handed them the cup, he said, don't forget. So when we come to the table, the whole purpose is don't forget. You see, we get so wrapped up in our everyday lives and so many things are going on and we've got so many responsibilities, it would be too easy for us to go day and day and day and day without remembering what Jesus did for us on Calvary. But what Jesus did for us on Calvary is too important for us to forget. So God provides a way to remember. He provides a way to tie a spiritual string on our fingers so we never have to forget. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said to them that night when they were in the upper room, he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." That verse, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." We see that verse used oftentimes of the military, oftentimes of our first responders who lay their lives down. And that's appropriate because it's building on the principle that Jesus was stating. But the actual context of that principle, the actual context of that verse, is Jesus is talking about himself. And he says, "I'm proving to you the great love I have for you, because no greater love is there than to lay down one's life for his friends. And that's what I'm about to do for you. So when you eat this bread, don't forget how much I love you. When you drink this cup, don't forget how much I love you. In just a moment, when we participate in the Lord's Supper together, you hold that bread. I want you to think about his broken body. And when you hold that bread, remember those words that he said, no greater love than a man would lay down his life for his friend." Likewise, Paul was speaking later on to the church at Rome, and Paul said, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly." Now listen, verse 7. I'm in chapter 5 at verse 7 of Romans. Listen. "For one will hardly die for a righteous man." It's hard to find somebody who'd lay down their life for a good person. He says, "Though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die, might be willing to lay down your life for a good person." But verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You might be willing to make the ultimate sacrifice for someone who's good. Jesus makes the ultimate sacrifice for us before we're good. Before we deserve it, before we understand it, Jesus makes the ultimate sacrifice for us. He demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him." In just a moment, when you hold on to that cup, I want you to hold on to that cup for a moment and to consider what it means that Christ died while we were yet sinners. His love for us was demonstrated so much that he died. But not only that he died before we deserved it, before we could understand it. I want you to hold on to that cup. And remember that by this blood we are justified.